Rodney Hampton joins us on Sports Byline USA. You certainly know that name. 8 seasons at running back, all of those in a New York Giants uniform. He also sports a Super Bowl championship ring for Super Bowl number 25 when they beat the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, he played his college ball at the University of Georgia. How did you end up at the University of Georgia, Rodney?
Man, to tell the truth, I wanted to be a Pony Express. I'm a big Eric Dickerson fan. But in 87, I was coming out of high school. You know, they got hit by the death penalty. So I had to look at other schools, and the University of Georgia was known for a lot of talented running backs. So I ended up going there, being a Bulldog.
You know, you mentioned about Eric Dickerson. You obviously had an affinity for the type of football player and running back he was. Tell me what you saw when you watched him play.
He was smooth. I mean, he runs straight up. That's a guy that can do everything on the football field, you know. He can get the tough yardage. He can have speed. He can use the stiff arm. And also can run on short yardage and goal line. So he was a complete package.
You know, he was a tall type of guy, and as I watched him run, his stride was the thing that always appealed to me. Tell me a little bit about his running style.
Yeah, like I said, he ran straight up, and it seemed like he wasn't running fast at all, but he was so smooth and running away from people. You know, and you know, you had to keep on rewinding the tape and say, is this guy that fast? But he was just smooth, and, you know, he had the goggles on and had the Jerry curl, so, you know, it was exciting to watch him play.
Now, when you compare him to somebody like a Barry Sanders, what did you see in Barry?
Oh, it's different. Barry is just unbelievable with the footwork. You know, that guy can stop and stop on the dime and make change and make everybody, you know, look crazy. So Barry was an elite running back that, you know, makes 11 guys fall down and some guys get back up and try to tackle him again, and he can make them look crazy again.
Rodney, one thing I've always heard from running backs when I talk to them, I ask them what is the most important thing in a running back, and they always tell me, at least at some point in the conversation, the first step. What are they talking about?
Well, the first step, you got the first step to make people miss, and also vision. You got to have vision also to be a good running back. You know, you got some guys who can just run tough, the short yard. You have some guys who have a vision. That's the ones who can stop and make people miss and, you know, just have the first step. And so that's what it takes to be a great running back.
Jim Brown also told me that he always understood when he had gotten the last inch out of every carry, and I always found that interesting. Are running backs that attuned that they know exactly when they've gotten everything they can out of a run?
Well, you can. You know, you always want to, you know, always want to just get everything you want. You know, some guys run out of bounce, and they call it the soft one. So you want to just get everything you can out of a run, you know, not being running out of bounce. So you want to, you know, as a big guy, you want to put your shoulder down and get that and keep the chain. So that's kind of back I thought I was, you know, complete running back. A guy can make people miss and get the touch yardage at the same time.
You mentioned about the University of Georgia. They had a great running back in Herschel Walker. You had, I'm sure, many chances to talk to him over the years. Tell me a little bit about those conversations of running back to running back.
Well, Herschel Walker, we played together with the New York Giants also, so he was a talented running back. He was speed, and he was powerful also. So he was a guy that, we, you know, when I played for the Giants, you know, I just kind of picked his brain, you know. I knew he was from Georgia and all the good stuff. But just a running back, you're born to run, but it's just, like I say, having the first step and having vision just make it easier to be an elite running back.
1990, the NFL draft, picked in the first round by the New York Giants, is one Rodney Hampton, 24th pick overall. You must have thought it was really easy after 1 year in the National Football League and you come up with a Super Bowl championship ring.
Oh, yeah, it seemed easy the first year because my first year we won the Super Bowl. And then from there, the next 2 years, we had Ray Hanley. We didn't do too well. And so that's why I learned that you got to take advantage of your opportunity when you have it. And that's the same thing I do. I tell kids in the after-school program I do in house camp. I tell them to believe in yourself, work hard, and be disciplined, and it'll take you a long ways in life.
You mentioned about Bill Parcells being your coach. Tell me about the first time you ever saw him, that encounter between Rodney Hampton and Bill Parcells.
I remember my first run, my first carry against the Buffalo Bills. I carried the ball, first carry, I carried 89 yards for a touchdown, and everybody was cheering and everything. He said, oh, don't put him in Canton yet, he's just a rookie. So he was tough. He always made you stay focused and let you, you know that, you know, after one great play, you got to come back and do it again.
Was he the type of coach that really he didn't care too much about what you did as long as you did whatever you did the best you could?
Yeah, he wanted you to play hard. He had a way of bringing the best out of each person. You know, each personality, you know, he brought the best out of you. And that's why we're so good. You know, we didn't have the most talented team, but he had us ready to play at all times.
One of the things about him I have always heard is that he knew how to press the buttons on people. In other words, how to motivate him. How did he do that, Rodney?
Well, like I say, he knew what button to push on each player. Even Lawrence Taylor, one time he told LT, you think you all that? You haven't had a sack in three games. And LT went out and had five sacks in this game. So he knew how to push the buttons. And him and Phil Sims, you know that, they used to go at it on the sidelines. But, you know, he had love for them guys, and he was just a great coach.
You
had a Hall of Fame coach at that.
After that first year, you had five 1,000-yard rushing seasons. When somebody is able to rush for 1,000 yards, what is the catalyst of that success that allows them to do so?
Well, I always say offensive line, because without the offensive line, you're nothing. But, you know, also, like, you got to be dedicated, got to work out hard. And, like, I was striving on getting the 3 or 4 yards to, you know, keep the time of possession. So that was one of the most important things. But I got to give all the credit to the offensive line for me to be able to get 5,000 yards 5 years in a row.
Take me back to that 1990 season, a Super Bowl season. You guys go 13-3. What was the catalyst of the success of that season, Rodney?
Just having a lot of veteran guys on the team. You know, we had our leaders on the team, Phil Sims, and he got hurt, but Hosteller stepped in and played. And then on defense, you had Pepper Johnson, Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, and, you know, we had a great secondary. So we just had veteran guys who just made it easy for guys who was rookies like myself to come in and just fit in.
Was there a key game or a key series of games during that season where the team could have gone either way?
Well, we was 10-0. We went to Philadelphia. We lost, and then we lost a close game against San Francisco. But, you know, like, we had a veteran team, and the guys just say, hey, you know we're good. We got to just stay here. And we stayed together as a team. And in the playoffs, we beat Chicago, then went to San Fran, and Roger Craig fumbled the football, and we was able to pick it up and kick a field goal and went on to the Super Bowl and beat Buffalo. Why right?
I was a kid, grew up in Washington, D.C., so while I wasn't a particularly Washington Redskins fan, I did have an understanding and appreciation for the NFC East, where you had New York, you had Philadelphia, you had the Washington Redskins, and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys as well. There was something that was special about that conference, that division, and the rivalries that were there. Help me out a little bit. What made it so special?
It was tough because they hit hard in that conference. You had Philadelphia Eagles. They had a great defense. You had the Cowboys was up and coming. You had the Redskins. They're going to play you tough. And you had Arizona at that time. They're going to find a way to beat somebody, upset somebody at the time. But it was just a, you know, terrific conference. And, you know, you have to come to play. Because if you don't, you're going to get embarrassed.
How did the rest of the conference feel, or in this particular case, the Giants, feel about the Dallas Cowboys? Because they always had that particular swagger, one time labeled America's team. Was that something that brought out a little bit more in the Giants?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think, like you mentioned earlier, all the teams that you played, you know, they brought the best out of us, no matter if it's the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Eagles, because we know you don't play hard, you're going to get embarrassed. But, you know, Cowboys was labeled as American team. We didn't let that bother us. We know it was good, but we know we had to go out and play hard in order to be, you know, be successful, and that's what we did. And that's what we was able to win the Super Bowl.
That Super Bowl victory over the Buffalo Bills, of course, they had a lot of frustration. They lost 4 Super Bowl opportunities. But in that particular one, Scott Norwood was getting ready to kick a field goal that would have won that game, and you guys were on the sideline. Now, you were on crutches for that game. You had been injured. Tell me about what the sideline was like.
Well, I was on the crutches, on the sideline, on the crutches, and, you know, I was guiding that ball to go right with the crutches. So, it was, you know, when he kicked the ball, I saw it going straight, and then it just started going to the right. So, I mean, that's a great feeling. And, you know, Scott Norwood wouldn't have missed that. I mean, if he wouldn't have missed that kick, he wouldn't be famous like he is right now, because everybody remember him for missing a kick.
Tell me a little bit about what a Super Bowl championship ring means to a player, because you can go and have a lot of great seasons, and you can have a lot of individual success. But winning a Super Bowl does what for a player?
Well, winning a Super Bowl, you know, give you a lot of bragging rights, and, you know, give you a lot of confidence, you know, but one thing about a Super Bowl, it's not promised that you're going to get there again. You know, some guys play 14, 15 years and never been to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you just got to take it and strive and know that, you know, you can have a good team, but a lot of luck come with, you know, getting to the Super Bowl.
Do you have a particular memory about your career that always stays with you, Rodney?
I guess I'd just say my first year, just being able to adapt with the older guys that was there and just playing hard. You know, that was the most important thing. I played with the older guys, and they just taught me a lot of things that, you know, take one game at a time, one play at a time. And if you do that, that gave you long ways, not only in football, but in life.
Well, Rodney, congratulations on your fine career, and thank you for sharing with us here on Sports Byline. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
8 years in the National Football League, all eight of those in a New York Giants uniform after being drafted in the first round, 24th pick overall by the New York Giants. Rodney Hampton with us at his career stats, 6,897 yards. He averaged almost 4 yards a carry. We continue on Sports Byline.